Your SEO mentor, Garrett Pearson, is pleased to bring you totally awesome SEO and social marketing content direct from the all-new feature-rich YourSEOMentor.com. Learn it. Love it. Do it.
Hello, everyone. Garrett Pearson, your SEO mentor, here with James Duthy. How are you, buddy?
Very good, Garrett. How are you?
I'm great. I hear that Australian accent there. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct. I'm from Melbourne, Australia. Sunny Australia. It's a beautiful spring morning where I am at the moment. So it's a good time of year to be in Australia. Just coming into summer in the next few months.
Oh, wow. Awesome. Well, great. I'm just going to ask you a couple questions throughout the interview, and it sounds like there's a slight delay, so we'll work through that. But James, just tell us a little bit more about yourself. For those that might not know you, your background in the online marketing industry, about your family, your hobbies.
Absolutely. I'll start on a personal level, firstly. As you can tell, and as we've discussed, I'm from Melbourne, Australia, which is why I have a funny little accent going on. I'm 29 years old, turning 30 in a couple of weeks, actually. So I am officially starting to get old, I believe. I have no kids at this point in time, but living with my girlfriend of 4 years, so I dare say it's not too far around the corner. I love sports, all kind of sports. I play basketball a couple of times a week. I have done for pretty much my whole life, and try to keep active in the gym as well. So basically when I'm not working, I'm either playing sport or watching sport. From a professional level and the online marketing industry, I got into online marketing probably around the start of the new millennium. I was working in a global market research company. And I did work there for quite a while, for about 7 years. They actually went through a transferal process of running their operations via telephone onto an online platform. So I was in that company during that transitional period when they switched a lot of what they did from an offline environment to an online environment. So that included, building a website, building traffic to the website, communicating with their database. So there was a whole range of activities that I sort of picked up experience there in terms of web development and communications, email, traffic generation and customer acquisition. So just a broad range of experiences there. About a year and a half ago, I switched into the agency environment, and at the moment I'm working for Australia's biggest online marketing agency. My role is predominantly around online marketing strategy, and in particular developing communication strategies and customer retention strategies for our clients. So I'm not an SEO strictly by trade. It's something that I just do as a little hobby on my own blog. I started blogging last year for another agency I was working for, and I pretty much got hooked into the blogging as soon as I started it. So I worked on that blog for a few months, and then at the start of this year, I decided to start my own personal blog on my marketing banter. So that's been going since January this year. It's really given me, a little playground to play around with SEO and social media, and really get my hands dirty and get some real experience in those areas. So I suppose that's me in a nutshell.
Awesome. Well, great. And I have to say, I love your accent.
Thank you. It seems to be a very popular accent with the Americans.
It is. Now tell us something you really enjoy about, the online marketing industry and the career you've had.
Okay. Probably, I think the best thing about working in the online marketing industry is actually the knowledge sharing culture within the industry. I mean, there's just a massive, massive online community of SEOs, of online marketers, social media marketers, affiliate marketers. They're all almost, working together to share information, share tips, share tactics and strategies. So it's just a fantastic learning environment, both for experienced people and newbies as well, to pick up. I mean, basically anyone who's interested in the industry can, with the right motivation, can become an expert, because there's just such a huge wealth of knowledge It's being reported online through blogs and through social media and all these tools and communications mediums. So I think the aspect of the industry that I do enjoy most is the fact that, you know, realistically, we're I suppose we're competitors with all the other online marketers out there, but at the same time, we're all sort of working together as a community to share information and share knowledge. So I think it's a really good culture there in the online community for almost, you know, helping out the brethren. So that's probably one of the things I really like about the online marketing industry. Another point would probably be creativity. There's a constant influx of new technologies, you know, tools and technologies within the online marketing environment. So, you know, in the last few years we've seen blogs and social media and microblogs and all these other new forms of media that are emerging, and I suppose clients come to us and want to know how they can begin to leverage these new media forms. So it opens up, you know, a lot of these, when clients come to us, there's, you know, probably not a lot of case studies and success stories within with these new forms of media. So it opens up the door for a lot of creativity to work with clients with their unique businesses and find ways to make these new forms of media work for them. So it's pretty exciting to be able to almost be semi-pioneers in the field and try new things and just really open up your creative juices.
Awesome. Now, going back to that first piece you talked about, you know, just gaining that knowledge. Well, if you were able to give just, you know, one great tip or some advice to a newbie that's starting in the online marketing industry, what would that be?
I think it all comes down to probably one word for me, and that's just to read. I mean, the knowledge sharing probably really is the best aspect of the industry. There's just so many great sources of information out there. So many really, really smart people sharing their knowledge and sharing their views online. So I think the most important thing that you can do if you're wanting to get into the industry is to identify the right sources of information, you know, such as the Skin, the Search Engine Land, SEO Moz, you know, these types of information meccas, and really just add them to your RSS feed or, you know, newsletter subscription or however you like to follow the information, and just commit to actually reading, because the industry, I suppose, is somewhat like the life of a dog. 1 year in the internet or online marketing industry is really equivalent to about 7 years, because it just moves so quickly. So, you know, if you want to keep up with what's happening, you really just need to have your finger on the pulse, and I suppose you need to have a passion for information as well. You need to want to read. You need to read everything daily, and you need to want to read it all, because if you don't have the motivation to read, then you're just not going to do it. So I suppose you need to have a passion for the industry and a passion for the information and keeping up to date with what's happening. Yeah, I suppose the other key piece of advice would really be to actually, once you've read a bit and you think you understand the concepts and grasp the concepts, it's to actually go down and get your hands dirty. And I suppose that's why I started my own blog, is because I was doing a lot of reading but probably not putting as much of it into practice as I like, particularly because my full-time role was a strategy role, and a lot of what I was reading about in terms of SEO and social media were areas that I got to put into practice via my full-time role. So I wanted actually an opportunity to actually just go out there and have a bit of a play around and see what I could learn from a practical point of view. So after you've actually absorbed some of the information and think you understand it, you know, get out there and start applying it. Start a blog, start writing, start promoting, start optimising, and just, you know, the best way to learn is by doing. So once you've grasped the knowledge of all your concepts, get out there and form your own little blog, your own little playground, and just start learning by doing.
Awesome. That's a great tip. And I totally agree. There's just wonderful content out there, and you just have to read it. You just have to.
That's right. The biggest challenge, really, I mean, I subscribe to probably about 50 or 60 blogs, and I know other people in this industry subscribe to hundreds. So, you know, one of the biggest challenges is just being able to keep up with the almost information overload, I suppose. But you just have to commit to doing it. I suppose I set aside an hour and a half every morning to just go through my RSS reader and say, okay, this is what I do for the first hour and a half of every day, and I need to do it to do my job well.
Great, great. Now, in your opinion, what's the most exciting trend in the online marketing or the, you know, the SEO or social media industries today?
Okay, that is a very good question. I suppose I'll probably address it from a high level and say that the speed of innovation is probably the thing that I find most exciting, rather than isolating a single trend in, say, social media or SEO. I think it's actually the speed of innovation that's the most exciting part of working in the online marketing industry. I'll just give you an example within the browser market. I mean, we saw Firefox 3 come out not that long ago with some great new tools and features. Then obviously this week Google Chrome came out, and again, they're changing the game as well. And we've got Internet Explorer 8 coming out in the not too distant future as well. And so you can see there's just this constant, race to be innovative, to introduce new features. And I suppose the really good thing about the browser market is it's all free software, and there's so much happening and there's so much innovation, and it's all concentrated on, a culture of innovation that's bred from providing a greater user experience. So everyone's trying to win market share by being the most innovative, by having the best new features. So the innovation is happening across all industries, whether it's the browsers, whether it's, you know, SEO tools, social media sites, tools and technologies. So I think the most exciting part of the online marketing industry in whole is actually the innovation and the amount of smart people who are working constantly to provide new tools that make our lives easier and better.
Wonderful, wonderful. Now, you know, I'm sure with all of your reading that you do, you've come across many, many articles about social media, and it seems to be the new trend. Now, how do you see social media changing the web in the next year or two?
Probably the key area that I'd like to see how social media changes the web is within search itself. And I suppose the evolution of social search. I guess we've got two ways of categorising content on the web at the moment. We've got the automated manner, which is the search engines, whereby Google's algorithm is looking at the on-page and off-page factors and assessing a page's importance and then giving it overall, you know, trust rank and quality rank and determining, what the importance of what the quality of that page is. On the other side of the equation, we've got the social web, in sites like Dig and StumbleUpon and Reddit and so forth, where essentially people are driving the quality of the content. So they're voting or they're bookmarking. They're essentially nominating the content that they believe is good, and then that content is pushed up and promoted via those social networks. So there's these two separate ways of categorising content on the web, and I suppose the area that I'm looking forward to is sort of an amalgamation of these two information categorization processes, so that social media and the human behavior is actually taken into account within the search engine algorithm. So I suppose at the moment, I think what's probably missing from the search engine rankings and algorithm is the human judgment. And social media is obviously where the real human intelligence and the real human judgment is coming into play to categorise and qualify content. So I'd really like to see one of the search engines attack this in an aggressive manner and look to integrate the human judgment into their algorithm, so that we can blend both the social web and, you know, the Google algorithms to provide search engine results that are, you know, not perfect quality, but better than what we're getting now.
Well, yeah, and I totally agree that, you know, we need to, the search engines need to step it up a bit and give us what we want, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I'm not a technical expert on the subject of social search. I mean, if anyone who's listening is interested in the subject, there was a really, really great article by Dave Harry and Bill Slorsky over at Dave's blog, that was titled The Quest for Social Search Sensibilities. And in that, Dave and Bill really went into sort of the potential of social search. So if people are interested in the subject, I'd recommend going across there and then having a listen or having a read to what they have to say, because they can probably explain it in a very much more technical and informed nature than myself.
Yeah, that's great. What I'll make sure everybody that's listening, if you're listening on iTunes or somewhere else, make sure you head over to yourseomentor.com and I'll have a link to that article. I'll also make sure, James, that I put a link to your blog at onlinemarketingbanter.com. So, staying on the subject of social media, what's your favorite social media site online, and tell us why?
Okay, there's probably two sites in particular that are my favorite social media sites, and I suppose for different reasons. The first objective I've got from social media is from a consumption perspective, where I'm looking to pull information in and read the information and be able to, I suppose, pull in information and articles and stories that are relevant to me. So the best social media site for that purpose for myself is Spin, which is a social news site specifically for online marketers and search marketers. So that site is essentially it's a niche site. But it has a great community there, and there's some really, really smart people who spend a lot of time contributing to that site. There's also, aside from just the articles themselves that get published there and shared there, there's also a sort of forum element to the site as well. So aside from just, reading the stories that are the online marketing and search marketing stories that are on there, there's often conversation around those stories and debate that goes on in Spin. So it's a really good community for up-and-coming online marketers and experienced online marketers to sort of congregate and talk about issues within the industry. So from a consumption perspective, Spin's where I spend most of my time. And I suppose from a promotional perspective, in terms of leveraging social media for my own blog, StumbleUpon would be my preferred network to actually send some traffic towards my blog. I suppose StumbleUpon, when I first started blogging, was the most accessible for a newbie. Digg's a huge behemoth, and it's hard to, I suppose, get any visibility within Digg as a new user, whereas with StumbleUpon, you can sort of get some visibility straight away and reap some benefits within the network as well. So StumbleUpon is probably being where I've concentrated my own efforts, and I try to be an active stumbler and contribute to the network in a very positive manner.
Interesting. That's, a lot of these interviews I've done, the number one favorite social media site was Twitter. And I think it's very interesting that you mentioned Spin, and I think that's, I also love that site, and I never really thought of it as a social media site until now.
Well, it depends on how you classify your own personal classification of social media. Under social media, personally, I would put, your social news sites like your Digs and your Spins, and then your social bookmarking sites such as StumbleUpon and Delicious, and then I suppose your microblogging sites as well, such as your Twitter and Plurk. From a personal perspective, I've never really had a whole lot of interest in the microblogging arena to this point. I've played around a little bit with Plurk without ever creating an account in Twitter. But it's not something that's really interested me too much to this point. I can see the benefits in the microblogging, but it's just, I suppose at some point you have to maintain a balance between your online life and your offline life, and Twitter or microblogging is a sacrifice that I've made so that my girlfriend still gets to see me every once a week or so. That's my little sacrifice in terms of maintaining some sort of online offline balance.
Awesome, and that's totally understandable. Now, tell us some of your favorite people in the online marketing industry or SEO or social media industries that you continually follow online? And I know you're not going to be able to hit them all, but just give us a couple of the top ones that you suggest others to follow.
It's a dangerous question because you're always going to leave out someone that you really respect and admire, but I'll try my best here to not leave anyone out. I suppose number one for me is Dave Harry from Huma. Dave has actually been a great influence and I suppose a mini mentor for myself. He sort of came across my blog very early and took an interest in my writing, and we've maintained regular contact from pretty much that time that he first came across my blog and via email and via each other's blogs and so forth. And he's really helped me with my own, I suppose, thought development, and also helped me out with tips and advice along the way on how to gain an audience and how to use social media and so forth. So he's been a great influence over myself, and aside from the fact that he's helped me along the way, he also produces one of the most, I suppose, intelligent and thought-provoking SEO blogs I find out there. He's really got a great depth of knowledge in the industry, and of course he's got a great sense of humour as well. He's one that I pretty much read everything that he writes. Stephen Bradley from Van SEO Design is another guy who's been willing to share his time and expertise to help me along the way, and Kim Bock is another from Learning SEO Basics who's also been really helpful along the way and sort of helped guide me with my own social media and blogging habits. And again, both of those guys produce really great content for the industry. Aside from, I suppose, individuals, there's also quite a few agencies who I follow fairly religiously, I suppose you could say. You know, you've got your standards like your SEO Mozes, your SEO People or Search Engine People, Mackie from DoshDosh, Darren Rouse and from ProBlogger, Shana Albert, Tad from SEO 2.0, and Donna from SEO Scoop. And there's just so many good information sources. I mean, I suppose that's another area where I really appreciated having Spin as my social news network of choice, because within Spin you can really quickly identify who the really knowledgeable people are within the industry. I found Spin a really good place to sort of get a grounding of who really knows what they're talking about and who I need to follow. And I suppose one to throw in there just from a newbie's perspective, Ken Jones is a guy from the UK who's got some really entertaining SEO thoughts, so I like to follow what he says as well.
Great. Now, switching modes a little bit, let's talk about some recent news within the industry that's been out there like a firestorm, I guess you could say. Let's talk about Google Chrome quick, and tell us your opinion of, you know, Google Chrome as a new internet browser.
I haven't had a whole lot of time to play around with Google Chrome as yet, but I've had enough time to sort of form an impression of the browser itself. I think all the new features are pretty cool, really. I really like Omnibox, and I love the fact that you can search third-party sites directly from Omnibox. So say I'm wanting to search eBay or one of our websites I use a lot for music. I buy a lot of music online is called Juno, and from Omnibox, once Chrome picks up my browsing history, if I just type in an artist name, for instance, into Omnibox, it'll actually give me the option to search within those music sites that I purchased from straight away. So rather than having to go to that site and run my own search, I can do it straight from Google Chrome. So I think that's a really, really cool feature. I really like the speed dial page as well. It's not exactly a new feature. I think they borrowed that from Opera. But I think it's cool when you open a new tab that it gives you all of your most frequently visited pages, and you know, it can be a quick one-click process just to get to those sites that you really visit a lot. So I think Google Chrome really does look to be a solid product. And as I said, I think all the features are cool. My probably only concern is that it's very, there's not a hell of a lot there for just your average Joe. A lot of the new features are very much for your power users and your tech users. So if you talk about features like sandbox tabs and task management, it's very tailored to the power end of the market. So I just hope that Google Chrome doesn't eat into Firefox's market share, because Firefox is a great browser. And I really want to continue to see Firefox do well, but there is a risk that Google Chrome is going to eat into Firefox's market share as opposed to Internet Explorer's, which I'm not sure is the intention of Google or not. But there was actually a really interesting thread on Spin, I think it was started yesterday or the day before, that asked people to share their percentage of browser usage since Google Chrome has been released, and one that I found really important was from Lee Odden from Top Rank, who said that his Firefox, I suppose, market share on Top Rank had fallen 10% since the time that Google Chrome had been released. So at least from that one case, it looks like that, you know, that the heavy tech users are the ones who are adopting Google Chrome, and that's potentially at the cost to Firefox. So I just hope that that Firefox doesn't go into the wilderness because Google Chrome has been released.
Yeah, and it's interesting to see what's going to happen. For me, you know, I love Firefox, and you know, I won't use Google Chrome until, you know, they come out with some add-ons, because I use add-ons all day long. So for me, you know, I'm not switching over. I'm not going to switch over yet.
Yeah, I'm very much in the same market. I use a ton of add-ons for Firefox, but I suppose that's probably what's holding back many of the tech-savvy users at the moment, is that, you know, until all of their Firefox add-ons are compatible with Google Chrome, Firefox is going to be able to maintain their market share. But I'm sure at some point in the not-too-distant future, all the developers are going to make their add-ons compatible with Google Chrome, and hopefully it doesn't spell the death of Firefox. It was interesting to read in that Spin thread, that same Spin thread where users were sharing their browser market shares for their own sites. There was obviously a lot from being Spin, you know, with an online marketing audience. A lot of the people contributing were contributing stats from, say, marketing blogs and tech sites. So they had very, very heavy Firefox market shares. So, you know, 50%, 60% plus of users were Firefox, because, you know, the tech savvy market is the Firefox market. So that's no surprise. But a few people published some stats from generic consumer sites, and they showed a market penetration for Google Chrome is 0.2% or so forth. So in reality, it doesn't look like the general consumer out there, your average Joe, really has noticed or is even aware that Google Chrome exists to this point in time. So I guess. Surprising, because it's only been released for about a week, but it'll be interesting to see the adoption rate of Google Chrome both within the tech market and then just for your average Joes as well.
Yeah, very, very true. Now, James, you're famous for your guest blog posts on other people's blogs. Now, out of all those recent blog posts that you've written, what's your favorite subject that you've wrote about so far?
Okay. I think you've been very generous with your use of the word famous there, Garrett. I wouldn't quite say I'm famous for them, but they're a lot of fun and they help me get a little bit of extra exposure. So I do enjoy the guest blogs myself. My favourite one to this point would have to be one that I did over at SEO Scoop for Donna. And that was a post written that essentially looked at the assumptions regarding the quality of social media traffic. And in particular, I did a little bit of analysis on search engine traffic versus social media traffic, and the way that I did that was that I compared two blogs, one that was that received almost all of its traffic from social media, and one that received almost all of its traffic from search engines, and I just looked at the, I suppose, the traffic quality characteristics of both sites, so looking at the bounce rates, looking at the percentage of readers that return to the blog, which was, an indication of reader loyalty, looking at the average page views and the time on site, and just looking at a range of, traffic quality characteristics to see how the two sites compared and ultimately how search engine traffic compared to social media traffic. The findings were interesting without being, groundbreaking or surprising. Of course, search engines won almost every category in terms of traffic quality. So it was really interesting, and it was I got quite a bit of feedback, positive feedback from that guest post. So that was probably the one that that I really enjoyed writing and trying to add, a bit of intelligence to an area where there wasn't a lot of research or scientific data.
Okay, great. And I'll make sure I put a link to that guest post as well. And finally, James, I want to tell you that I appreciate your time, and we're clear across the world and we're talking and doing a podcast, and it's exciting. So I just want to thank you for your time, and if my listeners or anybody that wants to know or find out more about you, where should they go?
I suppose my blog is obviously the best place to go. I try to publish there a couple of times a week, once or twice a week, with some new thoughts and opinion on the online marketing industry, particularly within SEO and social media and online marketing strategy. So my blog is Online Marketing Banter. And that's the best place to catch me. As I said earlier, I'm not a big micro blogger, so you're not going to find me in Twitter, I'm afraid. So the best place is my blog at Online Marketing Banter.
Okay. Well, again, thank you, James, and hope to talk to you in the near future, and have a great day.
Thank you, Gareth. I appreciate the time. Very much appreciated.